This is Bump, Baby and Beyond with Emma's Diary.
This podcast is sponsored by Ashton and Parsons Teething Gel. Hi everyone, it's Holly from Pretty Big Butterflies and Holly Plus, and you're listening to Bump, Baby and Beyond with Emma's Diary. Today I'm joined by Nadia, and we're going to talk about teething babies, because let's face it, teething really isn't a time many new parents enjoy. So hi Nadia, it's lovely to have you on the show today.
Thank you, Holly. Thank you for having me.
Oh no, you're welcome. And I understand you have two little boys, is that right?
I do, yes. I've got a five-year-old Caspian and then a one-year-old Aussie. So yes, I have my hands full just like you. You know what it's like.
Yeah, and I love their names as well.
Thank you. Yes, we had to figure out what to call the second one when we found out it was another boy. When we called the first one Caspian, we had to come up with something unique.
It's hard, isn't it? The first name is always like the golden nugget, isn't it? And then it's like, how do we get the second best name now? How does that work?
It's tricky for sure, but he's actually Orsino and not Aussie. And my husband realised that collectively we called them Casino. Intentional, but there you go. Hopefully they'll have good luck in life.
I actually love that. I think that's brilliant. So today we're going to be talking about teething, the amazing world of teething. So with your little ones, how did you know they were teething?
Well, Caspian actually started teething really early. He had his two bottom teeth out at 19 weeks, I think. And so he started when he was still in that almost kind of newborn stage. And I don't think I was aware of what was happening because, you know, it's all sort of up in the air and a bit. But both of them dribble a lot and became very fussy. I think those were the two main signs with both of them. But because Caspian had started so early, I think when I had Aussie last year, I was kind of expecting him to have his teeth really early and he didn't. So I was sort of almost reverse on edge with him, sort of constantly looking out for signs of dribble or red cheeks or anything. And he didn't have his first few teeth until he was about 28 weeks.
Oh, wow. So there was a big difference between them.
There really was. And I think that's the thing with teething. It's such a curveball that kind of Mother Nature throws at you when you're a new parent, because you just don't know when it's going to happen. It's not a set time. It can start really early for some. And then I had a friend whose little boy didn't start teething until he was about 9 months, until he got his first tooth.
Yeah, you just can't tell. You literally just can't tell, can you?
So I think, you know, but with it, you know, you might have found this great routine for sleep and for feeding. And then, bam, out of nowhere, you know, it all gets thrown into a loop. So
like, what's happening? What's going on now? Especially I think sometimes with teething, when I think back about my little ones, my first one, he was great. We really didn't have that many teething issues. I think we had a couple of nights where he just constantly cried and we were a bit like, what's happening? This has never happened before. And we didn't really have any visible signs with him, not really. Eventually, we got the dribbling and we really did get the biting. So we knew when he was really teething, because he was like a little animal. He just wanted to bite. He was biting everything. He was biting the sofa. I remember he kept biting his granddad's knees. Every time we went to see him, my dad would just get his knees bitten to pieces.
Oh, granddad.
Oh, no. So I know you said that you remember the dribbling and the pink cheeks. Were both boys, did they have the same kind of symptoms, if you like?
Yeah, no, actually, it's funny what you said about the biting, because I didn't really have that with Caspian. He would get very dribbly and we would go through dribble bibs like several a day. They would just get drenched. And then he'd get a little sort of rash around his mouth and the red cheeks. And then he would often, that was something, you know, you learn along the way because there are so many different signs. And as you say, some don't show any signs or don't show many signs, and some it's kind of full blown everything. It's really hard to know what to look for, especially if you're a first time parent. And to know that this is actually teething and not something else, that is not an ear infection or a tummy upset or something else, but it is actually teething.
Yeah, because you read so many different things, don't you? That they could have runny noses, that they could potentially have diarrhea, and then I've read in some places, no, that's not true. So it's really hard to know what you're actually looking for.
Exactly. And I think that's where you just need to sort of slow down a bit. And once you get to see that the first few teeth are coming through, then maybe second time around when more teeth are following, then you know a bit more what to look for. And yes, it's funny what you said about this thing that they say, oh, you know, it's not confirmed that they'll get a fever and it's not confirmed that they'll have any kind of diarrhea. But with both of mine, especially the diarrhea part, because they dribble so much, I found they would swallow a lot of their saliva and they would often go off their food, but just feed a lot, like milk. And then their nappies would become these quite slimy, weird, acidic. It's not the nicest thing to talk about, but...
No, but it's real life. This is real life.
Such a big clue for me that when I could smell it in their nappies, it had a very distinct smell. And in our house, we just called them teething nappies because we could tell very, very early on that that's what was happening.
Yeah, and I love that, though. I love that you come up with these little nicknames, don't you? I think you do that when you have new babies. You have your own family terms for little things that happen, like punamis or things like that. I love hearing other families' terms. I think they're so funny. So how?
Exactly.
So you obviously managed to see the symptoms that your little one had. So how were they emotionally? Did they cry a lot? Did they wake up a lot in the night? How did they react? Did they change at all?
I think with Caspian, he was such a calm, happy baby, but he did, even without the teething, wake a lot in the night anyway. And then we would just have these sort of quite disruptive nights when he was teething. But he was not a big crier and he wasn't a biter like your little one. But Ozzy is. And Ozzy is this, you know, he is a great feeder, a great sleeper. I was very lucky second time around. But when he has been teething, then it kind of all goes out the window. And, you know, he will bite and he's been breastfeeding. So when they start chomping down on you, I mean, never mind your dad's knees, you know, this is where it can be quite painful. So he will sort of launch for you. And as you say, become this little sort of gnawing animal that just needs to gnaw on something. And that has been me in the night a couple of times. But yes, then we found that he would go from, you know, eating regularly, almost sort of three meals a day after he was past 6 months and being a really good sleeper to like not eating for a few days when he's been teething. And that's hard because you're in this routine. And you think, oh, I finally found a good routine and it's all settled down and happy. And then here comes the teething and then, oh, it all goes out the window. And then nobody gets much sleep and you have a very clingy, cranky baby on your hands.
It can be difficult. Anything that breaks a routine. And I think people should definitely be aware that the routine might not last forever and it might not be the teething. It could be anything that changes the routine.
Yes.
But teething is definitely something that can keep your baby up at night or can make it hard for them to go to sleep to begin with. So how did you help your baby cope with the pain?
Well, I think there are a lot of great products out there. And luckily there's more coming out all the time. With Ozzy, we tried the teething gel from Aston Parsons and that has been such a godsend. He has been getting his fangs, I think they're called. It's sort of the sort of sharper ones next to the middle teeth. And they've been giving him a lot of trouble recently. So I've been really happy with that. It's very easy to get in there. It has a little sort of tip that you can use to massage their gums with as well.
Yeah, I love that actually, because I didn't have that with my first one and I really wish I did.
No, neither did I. And now that I've tried it, I was so like, oh, I wish I had this with Caspian. Especially because with Caspian, I travelled a lot because my family lives in Denmark. So I would travel a lot, and having something that's really easy to pop in your changing bag and take with you when you're out and about just makes your life so much easier, because there's some great things you can freeze milk and make little sort of ice lollies for them that can help, you know, ease it. But you can't pop those in your changing bag and take them with you. To have a product that is easy to bring with you makes a big difference.
Definitely. And I don't know if you've tasted it yourself, but apparently it tastes like banana.
Well, like you can kind of smell it, and I think that's why it's easier for them to take it, so to speak, or to at least allow it to go in.
Yeah. Anything that helps like that in my book is an absolute winner.
Oh, it really is. You need to have good products that you know work and that can, you know, make your life easier for sure.
This advert is brought to you by Ashton and Parsons Teething Gel. In the depth of night or height of day, when teething pain comes out to play, their sad sobs flow, their cheeks glow red, and tears run down their little head. Mummy knows just what to do. She springs to action right on cue and reaches in her changing sack. Out it comes, the lovely pack. Mummy smiles, peek-a-boo, lullabies and hugs with you. Our teething gel helps pain take flight. Just squeeze and brush, take on the fight. Ashton and Parsons Teething Gel with brush applicator and aloe vera. Available now at Boots, Sainsbury's and Morrisons. And I agree with the cold lollies as well. We made loads of cold ice lollies when, I remember when Cameo was teething, and that really helped because he loved it. And when he was kind of around the weaning stage, things like really cold watermelon, we had really cold watermelon in the fridge, and it really helped to soothe his gums. And obviously he loved it, but he still does, to be honest. So things like that, keeping whatever you're weaning your little one on once they're over 6 months or around that age, if you can keep it in the fridge, it just seems to cool the gums a little bit.
Yes.
So I think, oh, no, go on.
No, you're right. You know, like having those cool items for them to, you know, and even other, you can find other sort of harder things for them to gnaw on. So it's not you or your hand or their own hand. I think that's what a lot of us have seen, or I have, you know, with mine, when they gnaw their own little knuckles, and when they've got these super sharp teeth coming through, you want to encourage them away from that and have good, you know, teething toys or, you know, weaning products to hand that they can chomp on instead of themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. My youngest he literally just chewed on his fingers, and you'd watch him sometimes and he'll have his whole hand in his mouth. And I was like, okay, Marlo, calm down. You can't eat your whole hand. And like you said, I think if you can try and be prepared, so have a look at really good teething toys, make sure you've got your teething gel nearby, especially in the middle of the night. And they do really good bibs now that have got little teething chewy bits on the end, so you don't have to carry anything around. Just, I think, like you said, just trying to be prepared, especially when you go out, because it's so easy to forget things, isn't it? Because you have to take so much with you.
Yeah. And also, I think especially, I mean, one of the teething toys I found that really works is, it's come out in recent years, so I've only again tried them with Ozzy. But teething toys made of stainless steel.
Oh, really?
They stay cool as well. And again, if you want them even cooler, you can pop them in the fridge. But there's some really good products out there now, which are not just made of, you know, rubber or plastic, but made of stainless steel. Because often you might find that your babies prefer your keys or cutlery or spoon to this sort of very cute teething toy that you you've bought. And I think a mum picked up on this and started producing these stainless steel imitation keys and rings. And it's definitely been one of Ozzy's favourites, especially when he's been teething, to have that.
Yeah, and I think it's a good thing to remember that your child might not attach to the teething toy you've bought them. So you might have bought them this great teething toy that's had amazing reviews, and you give it to your child, they throw it in the corner and never look at it again. So, you know, it's to try and be flexible and to try different things to find the thing that does help your baby.
Yes.
So we know that teething can be a difficult time for the little ones. But with all this missed sleep and the crying and the trying to make your baby feel better, it can obviously have an impact on you as a parent as well. So how did you manage yourself? How did you keep yourself, you know, calm and composed when all this was happening?
I think you're right. I think there's so much focus on how will the baby cope, and often the parents, and maybe especially mums, are a bit forgotten in all of that. Obviously, it's really hard to see your children in pain or discomfort. And often that leads to less sleep. And I think one of the things I've learned, and I'm sure you have the same having two, is to be kinder to myself and not have super high expectations, especially when you're going through those teething stages. And that can last a day and weeks, you know, depending how long it takes for the teeth to break through the gum. But not to put too much pressure on myself, and just take a bit easier. We live in a situation where we don't have family nearby because, as I said, my family is in Denmark. And I don't have the option of sort of saying, oh, I've had a bad night with the baby. Could you take him for a couple of hours while I catch up on work or I catch up on some sleep? And maybe a lot of people can relate to that, especially now with lockdown, where we didn't have the option of seeing family so much. And I think that's when it's really important to be mindful of your own well-being. And to take it easy, to not be so worried about whether your house get tidied that day or whether you get to reply to an email straight away. And just focus on cuddling and being with your baby, because as I think we talked about before, they can be a bit more clingy when they're teething and you might be exhausted. So just sit down and have a cup of tea and allow yourself an extra piece of chocolate and just cuddle up with the baby and rest.
Yeah, I think that's so true, because, you know, we talk about teething generally quite a lot. It becomes a part of parenthood that just seems to be expected and everyone gets on with it. And oh yeah, they're just teething, that's why they're dribbling. But we don't often talk about how difficult it can actually be, and that especially with things like lockdown, and if you haven't got family nearby, it can be a hard time, because if the sleep is disturbed or even just seeing your baby distressed, that can be distressing for you as well.
It really can, yeah.
Yeah, definitely take a few minutes out, be really mindful. I think it's great what you said. And, you know, I think a helpful thing you said was forget about the housework for a little while. You know, that can wait. Try and put those other stresses to one side. And you're allowed to just focus on you and your baby. That is allowed. Give yourself permission to do that.
Yes, and I hope that there's something that the world will embrace more now, you know, with all the changes happening. But that to see that parents really do deserve much more credit than they're getting, because a lot of us are juggling so many things and actually doing all right. And if we have patience with each other, then we can achieve a lot more.
Definitely. And I know it's hard looking back, because I feel like teething does come and go. It isn't necessarily, oh yeah, my children teethed for 3 weeks, because, well, it wasn't with my children. They teethed a little bit, and then a month later they teethed a little bit more, and 6 months later they teethed a little bit more. So it wasn't a constant kind of process. Can you remember what your children's teething was like. Did it come and go, or was it one long period? What was that like for you?
Well, I feel like with Ossie, we're kind of still in the middle of it, because it was only the other day that it was quite bad. And as you say, I think that's the thing. It comes a bit out of nowhere. You might be in a good period and everything is calm, and then something changes or teething starts happening. And, you know, with him, we're going through it. He now has most of his teeth, and he's still missing a few sort of at the front. And obviously the big kind of molars will come later. So yes, it's a stop-start process. And even each kind of teething episode, it's not the same as the last one, because when they start, they're very little, they can't communicate very much. So they might just be crying all the time, and you don't particularly know why until the tooth has broken through and you can see, oh, that was it. But then when they're bigger, like he is now, when he started walking around, and it might be that he goes over and bites somebody, like he's taken to biting Caspian a couple of times. And it doesn't come from a bad place. It's simply just he doesn't know what to do with this place in his mouth that's obviously annoying him or hurting. So it's a different thing every time, and it changes so much. With Caspian, it is a bit of a blur, you know, like, and I do think that you luckily hold on to all the beautiful moments and kind of forget about the harder bits a bit as you go on. But yes, it can be stressful when you don't know what is happening, because, you know, it's you're there and you can see that they're distressed, but teething might not be the first thing that clicks into your head going, oh, okay, they're teething again, because it's not the same as it was 2 months ago when they had another tooth come through.
Yeah, very true. My youngest is just turned two, and mm-hmm. the last week he's been dribbling quite a lot, and he keeps biting the sofa. And I was like, what is he doing? He hasn't done anything like this for a really long time. And he keeps putting his whole fist in his mouth again. And he does it sometimes if he's like being a bit naughty, or if he knows he's, you know, not being very nice to his brother. But I actually looked at the, so in the Ashton and Parsons box, there's like a leaflet that comes with like the instructions, but there's also a little list that tells you roughly what age the teeth come out. Mm-hmm. And it's actually could be around this age that Marlowe's real back teeth are coming through. So I actually think he might be teething. And naively, I'm not sure why I wasn't. Maybe with Cameo, it just happened really smoothly. But I don't remember him kind of teething at this age. But I actually think Marlowe is teething, like at the very, very back of his mouth. And I think that just goes to show that, you know, teething does come and go. Every child is different. But, you know, he's loving his watermelon, so the solution is pretty much the same. You know, I think that's one thing to take away, is that the solutions, you know, pretty much work, I think. It's just how the child displays their pain and at what point it can be a little bit different. So, yeah, I just found that really interesting that even now he's teething, which did surprise me, actually, to be fair. And I'd like to say that is affecting his sleep, but he's not a very good sleeper. So, you know, I could use that as an excuse, but
you might not know if that's it or it's just. But that's so interesting, because, again, that's the thing, you know, that they are so different, because Caspian was just never a particularly good sleeper. He's got a lot of energy. He doesn't need very much sleep. And even when he was a baby, he would feed a lot during the night. And I don't think it was until he was four that he sort of truly started to sleep through. Where with Ossie, he's just this great sleeper. He just likes to sort of snuggle up and going, oh yeah, it's sleepy time, great. So in some ways, because I was spoiled this time around with this great sleeper, then when he's been teething, it's been almost more disruptive than it was with Caspian, because I was kind of used to Caspian waking up. Whereas this time around, I've been used to getting more sleep. So now that he's wakes up with pain or, you know, discomfort, I'm like, oh, in the morning going, what happened last night?
Yeah. How do you cope then in the middle of the night? Because you can't give them, you know, a ice pole at 3 o'clock in the morning, and you can't necessarily give them their toys because then they'll wake up. So how do you cope with those teething cries in the middle of the night?
Well, I think, as you said before, I think it's really good to have some effective products to hand. I still breastfeed, so that's always kind of been my go-to solution when they're in pain. But I know for not everybody, but even if you're bottle feeding, maybe try that and see if they will take it, because I think just the fluid can sometimes have a soothing effect. But for that, it's very important to know that if you are going to feed them, whether it's breast or bottle, or even just a sip of water, to do that before you then put the teething gel on, because I found it forms this barrier over the gums. And so it's good to let them feed first and then pop that on afterwards so that it stays on and helps to soothe it.
That's a great tip, actually, just for people who, you know, might be struggling or might not know what really to do. I think that's a great bit of advice. Have you got any other pearls of wisdom when it comes to teething? Is there anything that you wish you had known when you was a new mum before the whole teething process started?
Well, I think at the beginning with Caspian, I would love to have known that it can start so early. And I have seen on sort of various forums and people asking, including on Emma's Diary, you know, my sort of 8-week-old is upset and unsettled, or my 10-week-old. And that can actually be the start of teething. So I think if you're kind of mentally prepared for it to happen at any point, that's not to say that you should stress about it, but just that you know that, you know, if there's a change in behaviour for your baby, it can very well be down to teething. Teething is not something that happens once your kid starts eating food. I think that's sort of a misconception that people think, oh, okay, well, about 6 months, that might be when they start having teeth, because, you know, that's when we start to give food. But that it can happen a lot sooner. But also on the other end, that sometimes it doesn't happen until they're 9, 10 months old. So not to stress about it for that reason, that their teeth haven't come through.
Definitely. And look for advice as well. There's so much online because being a new mum is a whole new learning curve. And I mean, none of us really know what's happening with our baby's teeth, especially when you can't even see them. So definitely have a look online. Like you said, the Emma's forum and the website has loads of helpful resources on there. And there's loads of things online that can just give you a little nudge if you're wondering how to help your little one with teething or what the signs to look out for. And, you know, have a look online, reach out. Just don't ever feel like you're alone and like you're struggling alone to kind of soothe your baby. And obviously, if you're really worried, then obviously seek medical advice, pop to the doctor, speak to your health visitor. Because, you know, when you're a mum, you worry about everything, and there's no harm in checking that everything's okay.
No, exactly. You really do. It's a whole new level that you never expected. And as you say, you know, like, use, obviously, medical advice if you feel that's needed, but also use your support network. If you've got, you know, a few good friends who either have had babies or who are expecting at the same time as you, use each other for support, because the likelihood is that they'll be up in the night feeding as well and with an unsettled baby. So it's always a good thing to just pop them a WhatsApp message and saying, do you think this could be teething? This is happening, you know, like, or I'm just feeling really tired because the baby was up all night. Use each other for support.
Absolutely. And one thing to really hold on to is that teething does eventually end.
It does. Yep. That's, you know, like,
there's light at the end of the tunnel when it comes to teething.
And that's one thing I found. If anybody is listening and going, oh, I think my baby started teething really early, often with both of mine anyway, their teeth have then come through quite quickly after that. So then it's kind of, as you say, it's over and done with, at least for a while. until they start biting the sofa when they're two. And so yes, you know, like in that sense, even if it starts early, it might mean that it comes through quicker and then it's over and done with.
Exactly. And you can get through it. You know, every child has to go through the process. So we can all do it. Reach out, get some advice, and you will get through it. It won't be forever. So Nadia, it's been lovely talking to you today. Thank you so much for coming on and talking about the wonderful world of teething.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
And just before we go, is there anything else you can, just any last snippets that we haven't covered when it comes to teething, just to make sure we've got all your helpful advice out of you before you leave?
Well, I think one of the things that we might not have, well, we did mention it, but often they become very clingy. And I think just embrace that. Give them lots of cuddles, you know, like if you've got a carrier, pop them in the carrier so they're close to you. I think this is a great way to kind of soothe them. And then maybe just for those few days that the teething is at its peak, just slow down for a bit, you know, take things a bit slower. Just try and find the things that work for your child, whether it's, you know, good teething toys or a teething gel, or as you say, something cold from the fridge. Figure out what works and then just go with that.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for sharing your amazing, you know, tips and advice. And it's so nice to hear your story as well. So thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you, Holly.
And before you go, where can we find you online?
Yes, so I am online at scandymummy.com and scandymummy on all social media. So hence the Danish heritage there.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Nadia. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you, Holly. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye. Ashton and Parsons Teething Gel have sponsored this podcast and have had no editorial control over the content.
This is Bump, Baby and Beyond with Emma's Diary.